I'm Lee Stavis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Known for her quick wit, charm, and compassion on Christina's Court, Judge Christina Perez has redefined the role of the intimidating and stern judge by making a genuine connection with the people who walk in and out of her courtroom. Her reputation has created a new take on TV court, landing the show 2 Emmy Awards. And it's all about the woman who wears it, 10 laws for being smart, successful, and sexy, too. Judge Christina lends the same voice of humor, compassion, and truth that she applies in Christina's Court. In 10 simple yet impactful laws, she teaches women that the real essence of being sexy and happy comes from making smart decisions and taking charge of both their successes and challenges in life. Weaving in her personal experiences as well as the many real-life lessons imparted from her cases, Judge Christina's words will resound to the new generation of women who take a no-nonsense approach and above all else want to be truthful to themselves. Judge Christina, who is best known as a TV court personality on Christina's Court, is also a successful lawyer, radio host, entrepreneur slash business owner, author, columnist, and a devoted mother and wife. She frequently serves as a host and special guest for many television and radio shows, including Hollywood 411, Larry King, Showbiz Tonight, and Extra TV. She's also the author of Living by Los Hijos. Christina, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be on.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. I really loved your book.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and in the introduction to It's All About the Woman Who Wears It, you write, I am every woman and so are you. We wear many of the same hats. We conquer many of the same life challenges. We struggle with many of the same daunting questions. And at the end of the day, throughout it all, we know we can get it done. So, Christina, I'm wondering, what do you find to be some of the most daunting questions women struggle with?
You know, I think one of the most daunting is family. It's balancing. It's, you know, the quote-unquote having it all.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have a career? Can I have a family? Can I be active in my community? Can I do everything I really want to do? And I think that's something, one of the things, not all the major thing, but I think that's one of the things that really stumps women a lot. And I think we have to step back and realize that having it all means something completely different to each woman. And I think each woman has to define what it is to have it all.
Mm-hmm.
For some women, it may be being a stay-at-home mom, which we know is the hardest job in the world.
Oh, yes.
I'm not brave enough and smart enough to do that. Because it's not. You know, it's funny that people say, oh, just a stay-at-home mom, but you're not. My God, you're running your children's life, which it takes more time and patience than any job will.
Oh, it sure does. Oh, yeah, it's so important.
It's higher responsibility, and I know that sounds so cliche, but it is.
No, it's true.
And it's also running a household, and it's keeping your husband and your family in check and making sure everybody's okay and protected and running smoothly, because when you are a stay-at-home mom, you are the sounding board of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, going back to having it all, you know, for me it's something very different, but I think one of the things that I say in this book is that each person, each woman has to sit down and say, what is having it all to me?
Yes, and that's important. I think having that clarity and being able to answer that question, and not what other people think, you know,
exactly.
Yeah, but what you believe.
And, you know, that's another great daunting thing that we go through.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems that we're always trying to please everybody else.
Yes.
We're always trying to be what my husband wants me to be, what my mom wants me to be, what my kids want me to be, what my boss wants me to be. And part of it in the book that I talk about, your identity, is who you are.
True. You know, and you created a really interesting term in the book called confused feminism. And what does that mean to you, and how do you see it in action in our society?
Confused feminism, I see it a lot with the struggle of an everyday career woman. I call myself a feminist because I am. I
mm-hmm.
believe in the power and in making things right. I believe that we are all equal, not to sound like our constitution, but we are
yeah.
in so many different ways, and I think we have always been given, listen, even to today, it's a different standing, it's a different board by what we are judged by, but confused feminine means, feminism to me means, can I be the old school, beautiful, traditional woman that my mother is, that came from a Latin American country, but be a strong woman with identity and purpose at the same time? And yes, I can. Am I giving away part of my identity because I dote over my husband or I make sure that he's eating before I'm eating? In that, no way does that take away from my strength of character as a woman, as from my intelligence, my role in my life. My husband respects that I do that. He would never say, listen, woman, feed me now. You know? It's not like one of those movies.
Yeah.
But it's being feminine. It's being a woman. It's being wanting to be cherished. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's you know, I'm a woman, please, you know. I mean, little quirky things like, I don't expect it. It just happens. My husband opens the door before me. It's wanting to be able to be nurturing, being home, being a mom, but at the same time being, you know, for some women, being a high-powered exec. You know, that's you know, that in and of itself is contradicting, being a nurturing woman and a mother and being a high-powered executive. So is that confused feminism? You know, it could be, but in a way it's not, because you know exactly what you want, and you are going back to having it all. You're doing what you think is best for you.
Yeah, that totally makes sense to me, everything you're saying. Like, I think of myself as a really strong woman, but I do. I like the same thing. Like, I like cooking for my family and providing in a way of nurturing, you know, that kind of thing. And I think some women might say, oh, well, you're not a true feminist. Like, no, I am. You know, it's a different way
yes,
you look
you
at
are.
It.
and yes, you are, because you know exactly what you want to do. You're not ashamed of it, and you know your role, and you love it, and you cherish it. And believe me, I think that's more powerful than anything.
Yeah, I think so, too. Now, you know, speaking of powerful, your parents sound wonderful. And if you can tell us a little bit about the way they influenced you and helped shape your beliefs.
Well, my parents are really wonderful, wonderful people. They influence and have, I think, shape everything that I do on a day-to-day basis. You know, they have a beautiful story that they came to, my father was very educated, came to this country with just education and with nothing. And he said he's coming here to make some money to go back to a medical school back to South America. And my mother was just a beautiful wife who gave up her dream because wanted to be a doctor. And she's like, okay, I know I got to support him. But my father and mother went through a lot of discrimination, a lot of really negative things. But what the most amazing thing that I really learned from both of them, particularly my father, is that, listen, remember, he always tells me, and I think I even put this in the book somewhere, that people will remember you by the work you do, by your character. That's the lasting impression. Mm-hmm. Of course, they will always remember your woman. Of course, they're always going to remember this and that, but they will always somehow remember, God, you remember what a great job that so-and-so did?
Mm-hmm.
I need to refer him or her more cases or more work, or I want him or her to head this for me. And, you know, so he really taught me through all of this discrimination struggles that he went through was don't let things affect you in life like that. Because at the end of the day, people, it's the work that you do that speaks highly of who you are and where you come from.
Yeah.
And you know, what I learned from my mother was, you know, her goal was to be a professional, and she couldn't. And, you know, and many people say, oh, my God, total submissive woman, gave up her career, gave up to be, you know, just a housewife, as they say. And she didn't, because it was magical the way she converted his dream into hers, and she supported him, and she was active, and she raised a family for him, but she was his partner in crime in everything he did. So it's as if she was going through it, and
mm-hmm.
it was really such a beautiful love story and professional story to see them even till today.
Oh, that's so nice.
The way they can't live without each other.
Oh, that is so sweet.
So you learn a lot of, you know, and I got my confused feminism from my dad, because he always taught me, like, I think he raised me as a man. Never forgetting that I was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Very clearly never forgetting I was a woman. So it was very sweet the way that happened.
Oh, that is nice. Now, your book is called It's All About the Woman Who Wears It, 10 Laws for Being Smart, Successful, and Sexy, too. So in law number one is finding strength in yourself. And in this chapter, you share with the readers how challenging your first semester of law school was. Can you tell us about that and how you kept going?
So I did find it a hard time, and it wasn't, what I was doing was not good enough for me, and I knew it wasn't good enough for me, because I strove to be always the best. And I had I sought advice from a counselor, from my law school dean, and she, as a woman, or as a dean of students, didn't give me the encouragement I needed as a student.
Mm.
And that's how I felt. And then I also felt that as a woman, she was very demeaning from a woman to woman. I'm like, you know, at first I took it to heart. I said, she must be right. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe I need to go do this. Maybe I'll go, you know, whatever else I wanted to do. And then I got mad because this was what I wanted to do. This was my dream to go into law. And here was I was letting her, remember what we talked about, one of our low downfalls, letting somebody else tell me what I wanted.
And looking for answers outside of yourself, which you talk about when you talk about law number one.
Exactly. And so that's why I think it had, as a young woman, it reinforced everything my parents taught me. It reinforced what I knew in my heart to be who my identity was. And it's a story that, it's so old now, and I talk about it all the time. People are probably sick of it. I think it's a story that people can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And people understand why I still carry it with me. I don't hold grudges, but people still understand why I talk about it, because it's universal. It's a universal story.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. And, you know, in law number two, celebrate being a woman, I love how you say this, because it's so important. You say, quote, whenever I'm around my daughter Sophia, no matter how fat, bloated, or otherwise unattractive I may feel, I'm very careful not to say anything self-deprecating about my physical appearance. I think that is so important, because I've often heard from young girls, they're like, oh, my mom's always complaining she's fat, and then they look at themselves when they're six and they're worried about it, and the culture is so obsessed with that. I think that's such good advice.
And it's true, you know, my daughter, and she's so cute, she says to me, Mommy, you have a fluffy butt.
Yeah, so do I.
Listen, you know, knock on wood, I'd like to think that I'm thin, and, you know.
Oh, yeah. You're beautiful, yeah.
But she said, Mommy, you have such a fluffy butt. And I looked at her, and at first I'm like, oh, my God. And then I looked at her, and I said, you know what, Sophia, I do have a fluffy butt. And she's like, oh, I like it. Oh, me too, you know, like never. And my husband looks at us, and he rolls his eyes.
Oh,
and, you know,
my gosh.
He's laughing.
That's so funny.
But, yeah, that's another one of our downfalls. It's like we're never good enough with who we are.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know whether that's part of society or whatever it is. But look at the beautiful artwork around the world of women.
Oh, yeah, shapely. Curves are good. No, my daughter's like, she's little butt, I'm big butt. And I think it's funny. I mean,
we have to encourage our young girls to understand that whatever physical beauty they have, as long as they feel beautiful inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it sounds so cliche, it is. And you know, I know you and I have a special, special chore ahead of us, because we are raising little girls.
Oh, I know.
How do you give them that identity of the body image? You know, how do you always make them understand that their body image is part of who they are?
Mm-hmm.
And they can't be weak and have to be confident in who they are. That, you know, it's, I think it's a struggle every day we learn.
Yeah, no, it totally is. And we're going on to law number three, take a risk. And what are some tips to overcome one's fears about taking risks? And can you share a risk that you took with us?
I think just doing something, you know, I think one of the risks that I talk about here was, I'm by no means a stand-up comic, and I was asked to host here in Los Angeles. It's called Acme. It's a wonderful, wonderful studio for up-and-coming comics, and, you know, a lot of them go on to very successful careers, and they all do, really, and they asked me to be a host, like kind of a Saturday Night Live type thing, and I thought, oh, my God, this is so not me. This is just, how could I do this? And, you know, sometimes in life, whatever the risk, whatever makes us nervous and gives us those butterflies in the stomach, that's what I think we need to do, because we don't understand the power and the potential that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we take risks, whether it's career, whether it's change, there's a saying in Spanish that basically says, with change, good things come.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to be willing to take a risk, because that's how we grow. When we change, we grow, and we find ourselves more, and we find strength that we never had, and we find new skills and abilities we never thought we did. And when I did this, was a comedian for a night, I never thought I could do it, and it was amazing how natural it was to me, because I think we all are funny.
Oh, yeah.
And we all have a silly bone in us. And, you know, you just let yourself go, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I haven't got any offers to do any comedy like that, but that's okay.
Yeah.
least I know I was good.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Oh, my gosh. You know, I would love to have you come back because this time just went by. And we're only on law number three. And law number four has to do, you have dating, rules of engagement. And also, when is your show, Christina's Court, on?
Well right now it is out of syndication, but it's on locally
okay.
in some areas.
Oh, great.
People just can go on and look to see what channel it's on. But we are working a couple new projects, so I'll definitely keep you updated
cool.
on that. But my website is ChristinaPerez.tv, so C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, so Christina without the H, ChristinaPerez.tv. And you guys can find out what we're doing, read a couple excerpts from the book there, and that's it.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, I encourage everyone to get It's All About the Woman Who Wears It, 10 Laws for Being Smart, Successful, and Sexy, too, by two-time Emmy Award-winning television judge Christina Perez. If people would like to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. Everyone have a great week. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye.